also greet you all this evening. As I was thinking about the service this evening and what was going to happen here, I had to think about 500 years ago when there was a group of believers called the Anabaptists that looked at the state church and some of the things that were being taught that were not right. And they took a stand, and one of the things was believers' baptism. And Amber and Elizabeth and Connor, what you did this evening would have got you killed 500 years ago. And I had to think about that. I just wonder if the thing of baptism means as much to us today as what it really should. Because there were people, there were youth that were your age that were dying for their faith, dying because they said, it's important enough that I follow the Bible. I'm going to be baptized. Some of them were baptized as infants, but they felt strongly that they needed to be baptized, receive Jesus into their heart, do what the Bible teaches, and be baptized. The steps that Andy kind of laid out earlier in his message. And my short little consideration this evening is my public declaration. And Connor and Amber and Elizabeth, we're here tonight because you have made the most important decision of your life. And there's a lot of decisions that we can make throughout our lives that bear great consequences and affect our whole life. Those of us that have chosen marriage partners, it makes a difference of where we end up in life. We might decide where we buy a property and settle down. And I have friends that I ran around with in the youth group that are in Montana and Washington and southern Pennsylvania and Florida and I don't know, maybe every state of the U.S., I don't know. But they made decisions that affected their whole life. You girls and Connor might not have to make a decision right away where you're going to work because you got work at home. But where you work, maybe the vehicle you buy, the friends you choose to hang out with, it's all decisions that affect our lives. But again, coming back to the decision that you made that brought you here tonight, the decision to accept Jesus into your life is the most important decision. And you're not being baptized tonight because you grew up in a Christian home or because you're old enough and it's now time to be baptized or that it's just expected of you. You're baptized tonight because each one of you personally confessed your faith in Jesus and asked him into your heart. And it's possible to grow up in a Christian home and never receive Christ into your heart. And it's possible to know the Bible stories but not know the Savior. And it's possible to have Christian influence all around you but never make a personal commitment to Christ. And tonight, with your baptism here, you've made some public declarations. There's maybe 100 people here that witnessed this ceremony. You gave a short testimony, but more than that, you made a public declaration. And I'd like to look at 4 declarations that you made this evening. Number 1, I belong to Jesus. And there's a sense that baptism is a declaration of allegiance. You've aligned with Jesus Christ. You've said, I want him in my life, and I'm going to identify with Jesus. I have the Bible verses that I'm going to read this evening. I have them typed in my notes, so You're welcome to turn to them, but I'm going to read some verses as we go along here. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." This was Paul speaking. And if you can picture with me Paul, as he went about teaching the gospel and teaching to anyone that would listen about Jesus and about the gospel message. And he was not ashamed to identify with Jesus Christ. He was not afraid to make that public declaration. Luke 12:8-9 says, "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." And these verses talk about, on the one side, if we are willing to identify with Christ, and if we are willing to line up with him and to pledge our allegiance to him and let others know that we're in Jesus' camp, we're following Jesus, it says the Son of Man shall also confess before the angels of God. But then the serious part is, if we decide that we would like to be aligned a little more closely to the world, and we don't really want just everybody to know that we belong to Jesus. It says, "He that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." A lot of times young people are tempted to identify with things, their cars or their trucks, or their clothes or their watches or their hobbies, or their friends. I had somebody into the shop this week, and it's interesting in the hunting world, there is a lot of people that make things in that industry their identity. And there's a man by the name of Don Higgins that does some land management. And there are people that listen to what he has to say and read his books and go by what he prescribes to make their property into perfect deer management property. And there was this man in this week, and he had bought some deer feeders and some blinds. And yeah, he said, I'm a Don Higgins believer. And this is what Don Higgins said would work for my property. And this is what I'm putting in. And when he said that, I was thinking about what I was thinking of sharing this evening. And I just thought about, what if I would say, yeah, well, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. And what he says, I'm going to do in my life. And I believe it's going to work. Never be ashamed to identify with Jesus. You know, young guys, if you have a truck, there's probably a sticker somewhere on the back windshield. And I'm not saying that's all wrong. I'm not preaching against that. But you can buy I belong to Jesus sticker online, I checked, for $5. And how about putting one of those on the back little corner of your truck, the rear window of your truck? You know, what did Matthews ever do for you? They sold you a $1,200 flagship bow. Other than that, not a thing. My point is, Jesus died for us. Jesus gave his life for us. Took our place so that we could have forgiveness of sins. Let's not be ashamed to identify with him. You all have made that public declaration tonight. And as you live your lives, as we live our lives, let's remember not to be ashamed of belonging to Jesus. Enjoy the things of this life, your hobbies, your family, your friends, the things that God has put in this life that are enjoyable, but don't let them become your identity. Remember tonight, you are saying, I belong to Jesus. The other public declaration you made, number two, is my old life is dead. Romans 6, verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And in your tonight, as you knelt here and were baptized, you were saying, that past is gone. I'm publicly declaring that that past life is gone, is over, and the old things are passed away. When you gave your life to Christ, there's things in the past that must be forsaken. The sins, the desires aren't part of your life anymore. And I'd like to encourage you all and us all, as we look back on our past, if there's things that come up to your mind that you're like, that's something I did before I become a Christian, and it bothers you, and you're not sure if it was taken care of, pray to God and ask God to forgive you for that. And if it keeps coming back, that might be God telling you to go back and clear it up. I remember when I became a Christian, I'm not proud of this, but when I'd go with my dad to some of the stores here and there, I had shoplifted some things. I think the one place was a little pocket knife and maybe a pack of baseball cards. And when I became a Christian, it wasn't right away, but I thought about this, and I was like, yeah, but Jesus died for me. I confessed that I'm accepting Jesus into my heart. That's all taken care of. And it just didn't go away, and that I kept thinking about it. And so I told Dad, I said, hey, one time I was with you, I think the one place was Paul B. And so Dad took me back and went there, and store manager there, somebody, and I think at that point it was one of the Zimmerman brothers, and I told him what happened and offered to pay for it, and I think he took my $5 and assured me of his forgiveness, and it was gone, taken care of. And there's things that my wife and I have both over the years thought about from the past that it's like, is that something I should make right? And if it's bothering you, and if it's something in the past that is part of making that old life dead, is taking care of those things and making them right. Satan isn't happy when we renounce the old life, especially publicly tonight. Tonight, you basically said, Satan, I'm done with you. I'm walking with Jesus. And you did it publicly. And Satan is not a very good sport. And it may be that this week you'll experience some maybe some stronger temptations than you've had because of tonight making this public declaration. Challenge you to keep that old life in the past. Number three, another public declaration you made this evening is Jesus gave me a new life. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We have a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 again, the end of the verse says, all things are become new. This isn't a reformed life. This isn't a reformed life. It's a new life. And Jesus didn't just clean up your life. He gave you a new one. And there's a side of it that as you live the Christian life, you experience new life, new desires to go along with it, a new outlook on life. And I think to be realistic, there will be times when you find that new life is maybe not as glamorous or as exciting or as easy as it should be. I challenge you to ask Jesus to give you the desires that align with his will. This new life means that we have hope. We have hope of an eternity in heaven. The last point I have is, I intend to follow Jesus all the way. Your declaration tonight was that you committed, as Joe asked you the questions, you committed to Brother Joe, to God, and to all those here, that you intend to follow Jesus all the way. And why don't you turn with me to Luke 9. And verse 23. Luke 9, 23 to 25. And he said to them all, and this was his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? And the picture I get from these verses is someone that is sold out. It says they're going to deny themselves. They're going to take up their cross daily. Every day, not just tomorrow, but the next day, and the next, and the next. The intention to follow Jesus all the way. The baptismal service tonight isn't a graduation for going through instruction class. It's not a finish line. In fact, it's just the beginning of a lifetime of obedience to God. And I was doing the math, how long it's been since I was baptized, and I did it twice because I thought it had to be wrong. But a little less than 30 years ago, I stood at the front of White Oak Church and made the commitments that you made this evening. And I think I can promise you three things. Number one, it's not going to be easy. Satan is never going to stop trying to get you back on his team. But the good news is, there's power. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And the Christian life isn't easy. It's hard. There's temptations, there's disappointments, but the power is there. The other thing I can promise you is others will disappoint you. And if we live our Christian life based on other people, it's not going to work very well. And I would encourage you to stay close to Jesus. Read his word, know what the Bible says, follow it. Live your life you end up having friends that pull you away from doing what's right, make sure you're the influence in your friends group that pulls back to, this is what's right. I'm going to do what's right. Others will disappoint you in being inconsistent. And if you try to align your life with someone that you admire or look up to, sooner or later they're going to disappoint you, or there's going to be something in your life, in their life, that you're like, doesn't line up. And if you allow that to be your focus, it will discourage you. Third thing I can promise you is doing what's right will be worth all the effort it takes. I would like to encourage you, Connor, and Amber, and Elizabeth, to boldly proclaim that you belong to Jesus tonight.